Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing the
work. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ford. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways and skyways on tonight, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I just hope and pray that all was well in your family circle and all continued to be well with you and yours. I thank you so kindly for inviting me into your workspace, into your living room area, and being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just thank those of you, all of my faithful listeners, that has been faithful throughout this ministry. I just thank God for you, you, and you. And may God richly bless and keep you always. We're going to take out this time on tonight to acknowledge those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 12 hours, last 8 hours, the last hour. We want to just send condolences out to you, you, and you, and just let you know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement and despair, and that God is walking along with you during your journey. And we as people of God are praying with you and for you, and may God just enrichly bless you and keep you and hold you dear to his very heart. And may God bless you. Hallelujah. And just go and just be strengthened. You can go in your secret place of, you know, wherever that secret place is, and just get in solitude with God and just talk with him and allow him to talk with you. And we know that once, you know, that you've had a little talk with Jesus, he'll make everything all right. And we just want God to just bless you and keep you is our solemn prayer on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to go now into our intro prayer. And I'm asking those of you to bow your heads with me as we go down and acknowledging Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our soon coming Messiah. And we're going to go right now on into our intro prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart on tonight of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity again around this spectrum, God. For we know that this earth in which we are living on right now, God, is just a permanent place. But we know that you have a place already designated, already lined in reserve, God, for those of us that are living according to your will and according to your way and command, God. We know that you have just laid in wait a mansion like no other house ever been viewed in the world. We know that you have a beautiful place that's designated for the saints of God. And Lord, until you crack those clouds, because you definitely is going to crack the clouds, you have not come yet. There's no one like you on earth, under the earth, around the earth, and over the earth. There is no one like you. There is only one Messiah. There have been many, and there are many, coming in your name and claiming to be you. But we know that you have not cracked those clouds yet. So the people that are saying that you have sent them to be the Messiah is just all a host. It's all in deceivement. Because you have not cracked the clouds. You said no man knoweth the time or the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. And so we know, God, that you have not cracked those clouds yet. So we're going to believe the report of the Lord. That's the report we're going to believe. We're not going to believe anybody's report. We're going to believe the report of God. That's the report that we're going to believe in. And Father God, until you come in all of your glory, and all of your beauty, God. We're going to be continually to come and go as pilgrims, mighty warriors, hallelujah, of this barren land, God. And I'm asking you on tonight, because see, I'm getting happy right about now. I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. These are the blessings we ask in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. And let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And all right, I just, like I said, I just thank those of you that are able to tune in on tonight. Hallelujah. And I just want you to get your good seat and get your cushion to position, your posture, and get comfortable. Get your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip. And just get your notepads and your iPods and your whatever you have that you want to make notes of as we go along in Scripture on tonight. And so I want you to omit the last ending on this, on our message tonight. I got Jesus' ministry, and I just forgot to put in the new designated wording that I want to put in this place on tonight. So it will be, our sermon on tonight will be Jesus, the Lord Christ, up close and personal, slash the kingdom, Holy Spirit. So it will be where Jesus' ministry is. We're going to just, you know, spiritually delete that. I'm going to delete it after the message and put what my theme was going to be tonight was going to be kingdom slash Holy Spirit. So a nice sermon is going to be Jesus the Lord Christ, up close and personal, the kingdom slash Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And so we're going to go right now on into a live program that's in progress as we speak. Hallelujah. And so we are continually to talk about Jesus, because we find out that it's a lot of us that still don't know about Jesus and what he have done before he left planet Earth and went back to glory. So I'm just giving you a highlight. You know, it would take probably to Jesus come to really tell you all the in-depths of Jesus. But I'm just kind of giving you a highlight of what Jesus, what he done when he was here on earth. We talked about his genealogy. We talked about his birth. We talked about his childhood and his adulthood. And we're talking about his ministry, but we're talking kind of geared on a different subject, because we're going to be talking about the kingdom slash Holy Spirit on tonight. And so, because we know that it's a lot of people, like I said, that don't really know about Jesus. They've heard of him, but they really don't know about him. So it's my job to bring unto you, to bring unto you the divine word of truth and to present to others this Lord and Savior, and he's our Messiah. And he's also our soon coming Lord. He will be coming on his own appointed time. No one knoweth the hour, the time that the Son of Man comes. But we know that he's coming. One of these old days, he's coming in all of his glory. So until then, we're just going to keep on pressing on. We're going to keep on just talking about the goodness of Jesus and delivering the word of God as we know it to be. Because it's our job to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. That's what he said. And he said for us to work until he comes. So we can't just lay down, you know, and roll over. We have to continue in God's word. So we're going to go right now on in to our scripture reading for tonight. And just play my strength in God. We find out that the work of the Holy Spirit is clearly to be seen throughout Jesus' life. By the Spirit, he was conceived. So Jesus was not conceived like you and I. He did not come through sin, through a man or a woman like you and I did. But Jesus was conceived, hallelujah, by the Spirit. And that scripture reading can be found in the law of Luke 1 and 15. We find out that the Spirit came upon him publicly at his baptism. That scripture reading is in the law of Luke 3 and 22. And the Spirit led him into the desert where he was tempted. And just like you and I are tempted every day by satanic force. And that, my friend, is Satan himself. Some of them call him Lucifer. Some of them call him the devil. He has many names. But we find out that Jesus was tempted just as you and I are today. In this world, in the now, Jesus was tempted as well. And you can find that scripture reading in the law of Luke 4 and 1. And the Spirit empowered him to preach the good news. That's exactly what I just spoken about. Jesus gave every individual on planet Earth work to do. We all have a work to do in various areas of God's kingdom. So we know that, like I said, the Spirit empowered him to preach the good news. That scripture reading can be found in the law of Luke 4 and 18. And the Holy Spirit enabled him to drive out demons. Jesus drove out demons and demon-possessed individuals. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 12 and 20. However, Jesus also taught much about the Holy Spirit. In the three Gospels account, on an occasion when Jesus was accused of casting out demons by the spirit of Beelzebub, that scripture reading is found in the law of Matthew 12 and 22 through 32. Mark 3 and 22 through 30, Luke 11 and 14 through 23. Now, following this, Jesus pronounced the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit was an unforgivable sin. And Jesus said that anyone that blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, it was an unforgivable sin. Jesus' specific pronouncement is directly linked to the casting out of demons. His work of establishing God's rule, so clearly seen in the power he had over demons, is shown here involved the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I'm going to read that once again. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That scripture reading is found in the law of Matthew 12 and 28. Indeed, the Spirit works is vital to the kingdom of God. It is by the Spirit that evil spirits and demons are conquered as the mission of Jesus proceeds. Now, we're still talking about Jesus' ministry, but we're talking about the kingdom / Holy Spirit, what we're talking about tonight. Jesus also taught that the Holy Spirit works regeneration in the lives of a believer. In order that he might enter the kingdom of God, that scripture reading is found in the law of John 3 and 5. He taught that the Spirit helps us as Christians, you and I, to worship as he should in truth and in spirit. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 4 and 24. And the Spirit also inspires scripture. That scripture reading is found in the law of Mark 12 and 36. And he enabled Christians to speak boldly for the faith. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 10 and 19 through 20. Jesus also taught that believers would receive the Holy Spirit personally once he had been glorified. Hallelujah. Pray for my eyes. They are trying to give me problems here tonight. And now that's found in the law of John 7 and 38 through 39. And there was therefore a distinction between the way the Spirit was present in the mission of Jesus and the proclamation of the kingdom of God and how he would be present. Once Jesus had returned to glory, that's found in the law of John 14 and 16, Jesus called him both the Spirit of truth and the counselor. The spirit is another counselor and lives forever. That's first reading is coming out of Law of John 14 through 15 on through 17. The spirit thus become the one who convicts the world day by day and yet stand alongside the Christian, leading him into truth. Hallelujah. Interpreting scripture and being the guarantor of truth. So he is the guarantor of truth. Indeed, Jesus teaches that it will be spirit progressive to bring glory to Jesus and make him known to future generations of people who have not seen Jesus in the flesh. That scripture reading is coming out of Law of John 16 and 12 through 16. And it is clear from Jesus' teaching that in all his various works, the Holy Spirit is to witness and to bring glory to Jesus. He will do this through the work of regeneration, empowering Christians to witness to Christ. The Spirit will be given by Jesus and by the Father. All right, now we're going to go on into how Jesus used parables. And I know we don't have that much time, but I'm going to try to run through this as quickly and as clearly as I possibly can. And we know that in about a third of Jesus' teaching in the gospel, I hope and pray that you can hear me, he makes use of parables, whether speaking to the crowd, his disciples, or the religious leader of the day. This form of instructions was the norm. Parables were stories taken from the normal life, hallelujah, which were then used to convey religious truth, and many parables of Jesus did draw on aspects of local life in this day, which would have caught the attention of his audience. Hallelujah. Now we know that Jesus told the parable of the sower, and the picture would have been commonplace, and indeed, there may have been a sower sowing seeds in a field nearby. Parables was rarely illegible, and the detail of the story was not that significant. Rather, they made one or two straightforward points. However, although undoubtedly part of their intention was to arrest people's interest in what was being said, Jesus' parable did not immediately help everyone to understand what he was saying. And then the law of Matthew 13 through 10 on through 17, and then Mark 4 and 10 through 12, Luke 8 and 9 through 10, Jesus makes some notable comment on the intelligibility of his parable. And then after the parable of the sower, it becomes clear the message has not been grasped even by the disciples. And they asked why he spoke in parables, and he replied, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never receiving. For this people's heart have been callous, and they have hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would hear them." Oh, that's what Jesus said. And he said that these strange comments must be seen in the light of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. Most of the parables are, in fact, used to teach an aspect of the nature of the kingdom. The problem with understanding the parable lies not too much with whether the story were good or bad illustrations, but with the truth Jesus was teaching. The secret of the kingdom of God, now being revealed in Jesus himself, his teaching and his work require a response and a mind open to see, believe, and be committed to this secret revealed. For those who would not respond, then the parable simply served to obscure still further the nature of the kingdom of God. Thus, there is urgency in the parable that requires a response from the audience. They need to decide to grasp the kingdom with its joy and its blessings, for it is like possessing buried treasure, or like a pearl of great price, which is so valuable, it is worth selling everything in order to obtain it. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Matthew 13 and 44 through 45. And also, I'm going to read this a little bit before closing this out on this tonight. More than that, the kingdom will soon come in its fullness at the end of the age. Did you hear what I said? I said, more than that, the kingdom will come in its fullness at the end of the age. When it does, it will be like a net that trawls for fish. And when they are lifted to the surface, the good will be separated from the bad. And a fiery furnace awaits the unrighteous. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 13 and 47 through 49. So Jesus presents a crisis situation. The rule of God manifest in Jesus and his ministry may have appeared small at the time, but it would increase dramatically as the parable of the mustard seed indicates. Matthew 3 and 31. I can't hardly see this, but I think that's Matthew 13 and 31, I believe. I can't hardly see that. But in a parable such as these, Jesus owned complete assurance of the success of his ministry, as revealed even through the path to that fulfillment laid through the cross. What was so difficult for the Jews in Jesus' day to grasp was not that the kingdom of God would come into power. They had long believed in that and looked forward to it. Rather, their problem lay with this revelation of the ministry of the kingdom, that it was God's will that the kingdom be revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ. Not in power, but to serve and give his life. The work of Christ, with such seemingly small and insignificant beginnings that seemed to end in suffering and shame on the cross, was in fact the essential precursor of the full revelation of the kingdom in all its power, and fulfilled at some later date, the day of Christ's return. Taking hold of the kingdom, therefore, meaning grasping a very new understanding of God, purpose for this world. God's rule was not going to be thrust upon everyone, but was being offered to the world in the persons of Jesus, becoming son of the kingdom. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 13 and 38. And it involves believing God's revelation in Jesus Christ and receiving his kingdom rules in humanity and trust like a little child. Mark 10 and 15. And then also in the law of Matthew 5 and 3 through 10. All right, we're going to end it right here for that sermon on tonight. And we will continue on tomorrow talking about the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to change the dynamics of this program, and we're going to now bring unto you hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and to uplift your spirit. We want you to be blessed, and we want you to be encouraged. And if this program has been a blessing to you in your daily walk with God, we would just be delighted if you would send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry, and send your correspondence in Tenet 2, Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. And until we come across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. And till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Yeah.
curses and pain. I must overcome, cause there's a battle to be won. With my mind set on high things, these things have become my footstool. I'm determined to reach my goal. I need peace for my soul. Oh,
I'm moving on.
That's why I'm moving on.
Ain't nothing stopping me now.
Thank you.
angels.